You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, October 5th, and welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill video game podcast. Every week, I, John Wall, bring you the latest gaming impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in 15 minutes to fit your busy life. I am very happy to have you here today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about El Paso Everywhere. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show, which is available on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review while you're there. It really helps to get the word out about the show. Also, if you would like to chat about today's show or just hang out and talk about games, you can find me on Twitter, Threads, and Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. Every week I open the episode by sending out some positive vibes. It's a special shout out to somebody who I admire and appreciate in an attempt to spread some good energy and make the gaming space a bit more welcoming. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Gamer Cat Cafe. If you are a sophisticated gamer like myself, then you've been aware of the newest trend, like I have, for a while now, and that is that dogs are yesterday's news. For a while, dogs were like all the rage. Oh, I wonder if I can pet the gross and smelly dog in this video game. Well, nobody cares anymore. Dogs have been exposed as the emotionally needy phonies that they are, turd eaters. Cats are where it's at now. And if you love cats and video games, and most importantly, cats that are in video games, then you need to follow Gamer Cat Cafe. Their message is to spread the gospel of felines and celebrate all of the cats that appear in your favorite games, from Stray to Cat Quest to Cat Cafe Manager, they have got you covered. You can find a catalog of all feline-related video games, as well as news on upcoming releases. So visit them at GamerCatCafe.com and look for them on social media for up-to-the-minute kitty news. Suck it, dogs. For quite a few years now, developers have been trying to recapture the magic and charm of the 8 and 16-bit eras with retro pixelated graphics in games like Shovel Knight, Dead Cells, and this year's Sea of Stars. You see this a lot, not only because older gamers are nostalgic for the days of the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, but also because the visuals in those games hold up remarkably well, you know, 30 plus years later. Seen considerably less often are games that try to recapture the look of, say, the PS1 era or the Nintendo 64. This is probably because, despite, you know, giving birth to some of the most beloved video game franchises of all time, that era of gaming holds up less well. Let's face it, they're ugly. They're really ugly. Developer Strange Scaffold, though, is betting that there are enough folks who remember those days fondly because their new game, El Paso Elsewhere, seems plucked straight out of 2001. I don't think they would take offense to me saying that this game is 100% unapologetically Max Payne. From the visuals to the gameplay to the storytelling, this game is mimicking the classic Remedy title and doing it proudly. You play as James Savage, a pill-popping, gun-toting badass who is shooting his way through hordes of creatures in search of his ex-girlfriend, who just so happens to be a vampire hell-bent on bringing about the end of the world. Whoopsie-daisy. This third-person shooter doesn't waste a heck of a lot of time before throwing you right into the action. It's broken up into about 50 bite-sized levels. You'll be running through hallways and graveyards, blasting all manner of creature from vampires to werewolves. As you shoot your enemies into tiny little monster chunks, you can dodge roll, you can dive, and like the aforementioned Mr. Payne, you can press Y to go into slow motion, which is particularly fun as you're diving through a window, blasting a monster with your shotgun in a flurry of blood and broken glass. The action is frenetic and it's fast-paced and it's very fast-paced. The speed, actually, it reminded me a bit of like some PC shooters like Quake, which is why I had to immediately go into the settings and adjust the sensitivity to make it feel a little bit better for myself since I was playing with a controller on the Xbox. As far as presentation goes, I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Looking at the audio first, developer Xavier Nelson Jr., I apologize if I got that pronunciation wrong. He voices the lead character who narrates the entire game as you progress. And it's really good voice work. A little bit on the cheesy side. You know, it's that type of film noir, gruffy voice, Sin City type of narration. That's what they're going for, and he does it really well. Nelson also helped create the soundtrack, which is a collection of original hip-hop tunes. Some of the songs worked for me, and some really didn't. Visually, I don't know. When your artistic inspiration is, you know, late 90s, early 2000s 3D gaming, it's just not going to be pretty. And it isn't. It's blocky character models and blurry textures and simple environments. But it's all, I guess I would describe it as like a very pretty, ugly game, if you know what I mean. But again, which to be fair is what they're going for. This is the, you know, this is the style, this is the era that they are trying to emulate, and they succeed. I just don't quite have that affinity for the graphics of that era like I do for generations before. You make your way through each level looking for survivors to rescue, and once you've found them all, get to the elevator and descend to the next level. As the game progresses, the lines between what's real and what isn't begin to blur. The levels bleed together the further into the depths you go, and it's unclear if this is due to the magic that your evil ex is trying to unleash on the world, or if it's because of the pills that you continuously pop to heal yourself throughout the levels. You can collect wooden stakes by breaking furniture, which will one-hit kill enemies by stabbing them in the chest, and you'll be given lots of new weapons every, you know, five or six levels or so, which adds a nice variety as you play around and figure out which guns really feel the best for your playstyle. I personally love the feel of the shotgun and the satisfaction it gives you as an enemy is launched into the next room as you unload a round into its chest. All told, the gameplay is very solid. The shooting feels fun, and the quick levels, which probably, you know, take 4 or 5 minutes or so, give it a very arcadey feel, which makes it perfect for players who can only get in, you know, maybe 20 minutes or less of gaming at a time. El Paso Everywhere is obviously a passion project created by someone who has a real love for those games that inspired it. And they've done a good job of recreating that old feeling once again with a pretty cool, unique twist on the actual story. The game now does start to feel a bit samey the further you go. And I came across a decent amount of visual bugs playing on the Xbox, like items popping in and out of the environment, some physics glitches, and just kind of weird colored shapes that would appear and disappear as I went. So it seems like it's got some patchwork to go through. But those, they didn't detract a whole lot from the fun I was having. I think it's a pretty good time, especially for those who have a fond memory of the games that inspired it. And even if you don't, maybe give it a shot. Killing a vampire while diving through a window, dual guns blazing in slow motion is super fun, no matter how ugly it looks. It's the first week of October, and you know what that means? It's spooky game season. I love the fall season, not only because of the cool temperatures and the fall colors, but because I love Halloween and I like spooky games. So I thought I would share some of my favorite scary games of all time. And I'd also like to hear from you what your favorite scary games are. So let me know. First off is Slender the Arrival. Most of you by now have heard of this character who started out as a sort of urban legend before showing up in video games. And I think they even made a movie about him a few years ago. This game has you roaming through all sorts of creepy environments, like the woods in the middle of the night, trying to steer clear of the Slender Man, who can seemingly appear and disappear at will. Nothing freaked me out more than turning a corner, knowing that he was just behind me a second ago, only to find him right there in front of me. There's also a new remastered version of the game, which is hitting storefronts this month. So this is the perfect time to check it out if you haven't before. Next is The Quarry. This gruesome teen horror game from Supermassive Games has you taking control of a group of campers on the last day of camp. But before they can leave for the year, a horrible creature starts picking off counselors one by one. It's the video game equivalent of a choose-your-own-adventure book. Every decision you make in this game is important and could lead to you escaping or facing a brutally violent death. Just what is this creature in the woods? Which of the kids will survive the night? Why is David Arquette there? You'll have to play and find out. Finally, Silent Hill 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. As far as scares go, it's not going to have you jumping out of your seat. This game is much more about that tension that builds up as you try to find your dead wife, who for some reason has sent you a letter asking you to come to Silent Hill. It's also one of the most weirdly uncomfortable and creepy games I've ever played. The creatures roaming the town are twisted abominations, and Pyramid Head is one of the scariest monsters in all of gaming. He is an icon. Truly, to me, one of the greatest of all time. There is a remake happening in the near future, but I think the original holds up pretty darn well, so you should go check it out. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I really appreciate you taking time in your day for me. Don't forget, you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for Midlife Side Quest on Threads, Twitter, and Facebook. So until next time, be well and happy gaming.